Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Masterson Inheritance, an improvised historical saga of a family at war with itself. Through the centuries, the Masterson family have found their way into every aspect of English life, but all true Mastersons have only one real concern: the land. How to get it and how to keep it. And so it was in the latter part of the 15th century. Tonight, our team of performers will attempt to spontaneously dramatise the story of the Masterson family through those turbulent years. A story based entirely on the suggestions of our studio audience. No script, no rehearsals, just an audience and a couple of microphones. To bring you this story of barons, bravery and broadswords, tonight we have Josie Lawrence, Fela McDermott, Paul Merton, Caroline Quentin, Lee Simpson and Jim Sweeney. Right, so we're in 15th century England. I'm going to go into our audience now to get some suggestions for our story there. And it's the War of the Roses, so it's the Yorkists and the Lancastrians scrapping over the throne of England. So our first suggestion is this. We need a suggestion of what a lady of that time, 15th century, might do in a castle to pass the time.
Swinging from the chandelier.
Swinging from the chandelier. All right then, yeah, all right. Our next suggestion is a reason for enmity. Between two families. They're two families that don't like each other. Why is that? Rival cricket teams. 15th century. All right, then. I think we'll go with they both live in the same castle. But that would cause problems, wouldn't it? Okay. And now a suggestion of a place you might take your sweetheart.
A maze.
Okay, we'll go with a maze. Very good, a maze. And our last suggestion is a title. And again, we'd like the title to have the name of the Mastersons in it. So the something of the Masterson.
The Jousting Mastersons.
Oh, very loud and confident over here. What was that?
The Jousting Mastersons.
The Jousting Mastersons. Excellent. The suggestions from our studio audience are swinging from the chandelier, they live in the same castle, maze, the Jousting Mastersons. The Masterson Inheritance. The Jousting Mastersons. As the sanity of Henry VI dwindled into nothing, the King of England, weak as he was threatened by the House of York, and a battle began, a battle for the throne of that great realm.
Here, you, give me that throne.
I'm playing a key role in these momentous political events where the great landed barons, one of which was the Masterson family, Baron Masterson, in his castle, proud, impregnable. His daughter, Mary, however, was an unconventional girl. And to pass the time, she might jump up onto the parapet and down into the main hall and swing on a chandelier.
Oh, the servant's looking at my skirt. Don't look up my skirt, you bastard.
We can't help it. We haven't got any home entertainment.
Her mother came along. Her mother, Anne.
Get down now, I say.
All right. You'll spoil my fun, Mother.
It's no way for the daughter of the Baron to act. No way at all, swinging on chandeliers.
But I'm lonely.
Why are you lonely?
I'm lonely and bored. I've got no one to play with. There's no blokes.
Oh, you're just spoilt, you are. What are you on with blokes, anyway? You should be up in your turret embroidering and growing your hair.
Shouldn't I be getting married soon, Mother?
Aye, happen you should. But I don't know who you're going to marry. There's none round here good enough for you, no.
What about them as lives in East Wing?
We don't talk of them as lives in East Wing, and I hope you haven't been dallying with that son of theirs that lives in East Wing.
No, I'd love to get me hands on this.
And so their talk continued. She was a rebellious daughter, for she was bored. Baron Masterson was talking to his son, Adam, but Adam was no ordinary son, for he had been born out of wedlock. Baron Masterson roamed the countryside, looking for suitable wenches to bestow his favours upon, and Adam had been the product of one such engagement. Adam wanted his birthright, wanted to become part of the Masterson family, but he was prevented by his illegitimacy.
Hey, when you die, I want castle.
How come I can't have it?
Because you're a little bastard.
Hey?
Steady.
You may be me dad, but I can still give you a pop. How come I can't have castle? Because I'm a bastard, is that it?
Because I'm bloody illegitimate. Is that it?
It's true. You're a progeny of myself, and I'm ashamed of you.
And so his dad stormed out of the room, leaving Adam alone. Alone, but angry and ambitious.
Oh, I could spit.
Mary and Anne were coming to the end of their conversation. Mary wanted so much to lead a fuller life than ladies did around this time. She couldn't understand why she couldn't go out with the boys. Why was it?
Why can't I, Mother?
Because I say so, and what Mam says does.
Well, that's rich, isn't it?
Ah, it is rich, unless of the lip.
Well, that's rich, isn't it?
I tell you what, it's a treat. Baron Dad's been doing a bit of topiary in the garden.
Aye.
Why don't you go and watch him?
Oh, lovely, isn't it? Watch me Dad cutting edges into the shape of peacock.
He's not making it just into the shape of peacock. He's going to do one of them, you know, posh mazes like what the rest of the castles have round here.
No.
Aye, happen so.
Maybe I will go and help him then, Mam.
And so it was they finished their talk. The other family that dwelt in the same castle were the Penroses. And the son of the Penrose family, David, was practising his sword play with young Seth, a knave who assisted him in his knightly duties.
Hey, you're very good at that, aren't you?
Yeah, it's jolly good.
That sword play.
I certainly am. Now, you try holding a sword this time, OK? How's that? Here I come. Coming at you, Seth.
All right.
Come on, keep your sword up.
It's very difficult, you know. I've never done this before.
I'm going to get you again.
Oh, another wound. Oh, God. You don't mind the blood on the floor, do you?
Oh, not at all. We can clean it up. Tell me, Seth, what? Have you been next door lately?
Next door? What's in the matter? I spit on them.
Ah, so you haven't been next door, then? No. Noticed the young daughter they've got?
Yeah, I didn't know they had a young daughter.
Damn attractive woman, sir.
Is she?
Aye.
How old is she?
I'm not too sure. Young enough to be beautiful, young enough to be the woman that I could love.
About 46, then.
Yes, roughly. In a good light. Come on, salt again.
Oh, okay.
Down in the kitchens of the great castle. Huge kitchens. They were very flammable indeed. It was Nora. Nora the cook. Pale, hearty and rosy cheeked. And with her, young Gladys, her assistant.
What are you making, Nora?
Well, I thought I'd do some sprouts. And some roast potatoes. But I can't remember what I did with the vegetables.
Have you lost the vegetables again, Nora?
No, I had them here in the vegetable cupboard and I looked there and they're not there.
Oh, no. Pantry's empty.
Aye, well, I'll have to give them sawdust and tell them it's been a bad year for the crops.
Nora, you're so creative with your cooking.
I can do anything out of a bit of wood. It's just when it comes to food, it goes all cock-eyed. I've got no bar snacks, so give them these pencils.
Nora!
Yeah, what's that then? What do you want to know?
I was wondering.
Well, yeah?
Yeah. Could you tell
me? It's not good to wonder, you know.
What's that?
Well, you start wondering, you start questioning your role in society, and you suddenly find yourself not happy just listening to some old loony cook. Cook.
Well, it's funny you should say that, Nora.
Yes?
Because I'm not so sure I want to work for you anymore.
Well, I give you every opportunity to advance yourself, don't I?
You see, Nora, I don't believe all this stuff you've been talking about.
What about the hobgoblins that live in the coal box?
I just think you're a stupid old woman.
Yeah, but we live in a stupid age and I'm just trying to keep up with everybody else.
You're not a cook at all.
I am. I can create a pastry out of a bit of balsa wood like nobody's business.
Has anybody ever eaten any of your food?
No, they haven't, as a matter of fact, no.
I think you might find yourself out of a job if you're not careful.
And she stalked out. Meanwhile, Mary had gone out to look at the topiary, for it was all she had to do. But on the way, young David accosted her. Their eyes met, and they were drawn mysteriously toward each other.
Oh, hello.
I'm sorry, that was my sword.
It's got quite a sharp point, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Hello, I'm David.
Oh, I'm not meant to talk to you.
I'm not meant to talk to you either, but I've been watching you from my window.
Oh, have you?
Yes, I wouldn't lie about a thing like that. It's fairly pointless, you see. Do you often spend time out here in the garden?
I'm not allowed out much. I'm only allowed out to look at the hedging.
God, you're beautiful. I'm sorry. I can't hold it in. I've been watching you every day, watching you walk around the garden, watching the way you move. I've woked.
You've what?
I've woked a note.
Oh.
As a tribute to you, I'm not putting the letter R in that word. From now on, I'm just going to white letters. Until you marry me, I'll never use the letter R in the word white.
Oh, David. You're so big and strong and handsome, and I love the way you can't hold it in.
Yes. Oh, God, you're beautiful. Is there no way that I could see you again? Just these few snatch minutes, they're not enough.
Tonight.
Tonight?
I'll meet you here by the new maze. Midnight.
Midnight in the maze it is. I won't forget. I'll write it down on this piece of paper.
Baron Masterson had his suspicions about his daughter and David. And he did something he rarely did. He went over to visit Baron Penrose, the head of the family who lived in the same castle as them. He wanted to warn him. Warn him of the dire consequences if they got together. His words were violent. Violent indeed, for it was a violent age.
Look here, you! Show your face. If that boy, it's your turn to pay the bloody milkman. You had a banquet last week. I'm not paying for 15 gold tops and half a pound of cottage cheese.
And when was the last time you paid for the electricity bill? Never! No, never. You've never bloody paid the electricity bill.
Not in the late 15th century, I haven't.
When are you going to pay it?
The next time I polish me helicopter.
It'll be bloody 20th century before you pay that bill.
Happen.
Look here, if that bloke of yours comes near my daughter, there'll be trouble.
What sort of trouble?
Big trouble.
I can't control my son. He's a man of us after his own loins. He goes where they lead. Slightly to the left.
I've tried corrective harnesses, but I can't do anything about it. I've had my doubts about that son of yours.
Aye, what sort of doubts have you had about our son?
Big doubts.
Big doubts, eh?
Aye.
Big doubts for a little man.
Hey, that's fighting talk where I come from.
There was only one way to settle this. They would have to meet. Meet in the traditional manner. Meet in a joust.
I can make Monday 2:30.
Fair enough.
And I'll meet you in the middle of the maze.
In the middle of the maze?
In the middle of the maze.
There won't be much room for jousting then, will there?
All right, the Yorkshire Moors, then.
And so it was settled.
And don't bring one of them packed lunches. You know I don't like wood.
It was settled. They would meet Monday.
If I eat another mahogany scone, I don't know what.
Monday at 2:30 it would be, on the Yorkshire moors for their joust. Down in the kitchens, Nora had been upset by the rash words of Gladys. She was weeping gently. But, luckily, in came Seth. For Seth had his eye on Nora for a while.
Hello, Nora. Glad to find you on your own.
Oh, you shouldn't have bothered. I'm just getting together a rock cake for me down to Oak.
I love you, Nora. Take me in your arms and kiss me until me tonsils come out the back of me throat.
But I have to... it's Thelma Barley. I don't know what you mean, really.
I'm a man of few words. And I might not say much for a while.
Well, I'm the same, really. Let's just stare at each other.
So
well, I don't... No, don't speak. Let me just look at you as your trifle burns away in the fire.
Nora, come with me to the maze. Tonight.
Well, I don't know if I should.
Do it for me.
All right.
Okay.
So, their meeting was sealed. Baron Masterson had stern words to say to Mary. He had been lured into a joust, something he didn't like, and he was going to show her how he would keep her from David.
You see these shears? I've used them to make a maze. I'm going to put you at the centre of that maze.
No, Dad!
And no man is going to come near you.
No, Dad!
Men like the likes of me, men who went astray, couldn't control themselves. You're going to be put there, and no one's going to come near you.
Surrounded by privet for the rest of me days.
It was a cruel fate indeed. Anne Masterson, mother of Mary, had heard of the joust, and she was concerned, but not concerned for her husband, concerned for his adversary. For some time, she had been harbouring secret feelings of desire for the people who lived in the castle with them.
Baron Penrose.
Aye.
I'm here on a mercy mission. I think you know why. Get that bloody budgie out of the room, will you?
I'll just open the window. Fly, me beauty, fly.
I've got
an eagle in the airing cupboard. Shall I?
Yes, please. I'm allergic
fly,
to
fly, me
feathers.
Beauty, fly. And take an umbrella, it's raining. What can I do for you, Anne?
Many years since I saw you, Penrose.
Beg your pardon?
You know, when I used to saw you.
Oh, yeah. It is many years. We've not had much to speak about.
Well, you know the time when Baron Masterson went astray?
Aye, and created a bastard.
I know, I can see your wife's eyes every time I look at the bastard, Adam. I feel that your wife and my husband had loved each other for years, and I feel that you and I have loved each other for years, don't I?
Perhaps we have.
That budgie's come back playing a violin, though.
Oh, just let Stephen Grappelli out of the wardrobe.
Right,
so what are you saying, Anne? I don't quite get your drift.
I'm saying I may not love my husband anymore, but I know him. I know him like the back of my hand.
Aye.
And I've come to tell you that, as far as jousting's concerned, he's ace. He's the tops. He's the Tower of Pizza.
Tower of Pizza?
Didn't want to say the actual words in case they charged me a lot of money.
She was the kind of woman who thought of copyright even as she spoke.
Aye, well...
Oh,
as far as I'm concerned, he's thin and crusty.
But he's not, though.
Aye, and I'm deep pan, I'll show him. I've got toppings he's never even heard of.
But he's got a special joust spear.
What do you mean, a special joust spear?
It's made of something the like as which I've never seen before. He got the cook to make it. Nora, the cook.
I am familiar with her. Well, why don't I go and have a heart-to-heart with all the three of us? After all, we speak exactly the same.
Just be careful, Penrose, that's all I ask.
Right.
And tonight, if you can, meet me in the middle of maze.
Middle of the maze tonight. Aye.
Baron Masterson, even with his magnificent jousting spear, or lance, as he sometimes called it, was not quite as confident as his wife made out. For in former days, he had been a magnificent jouster. But now his nerve seemed to have gone. It was then that his bastard son, Adam, came to him. Adam with a plan. A plan to possibly replace his father.
Hey up, Dad. Just come to see you, Dad. Wish you good luck. Good luck tomorrow.
Good luck?
Aye, good luck. Want you to win, like, you know. Thought I might, you know, take care of your jousting lance, as they call it, you know, overnight, and maybe polish it.
Do you mean that?
I like to polish your lance with this saw. With this cloth. There won't be a saw in the room when I'm doing your lance. I'm not going to saw through or anything like that. Because that would be a stupid thing, because then it would break and you'd die and I'd take over castle, like, you know. So I'll just use the cloth. No saw. There won't be a saw with your lance in the room with me.
All right, then. That's the first time you've shown me any sign of affection since you was born. I'll trust you just this once.
Aye. You'll only need to trust me the once.
And so the lance, which had begun life as a cheese straw, was taken away by Adam. Mary was in the middle of the maze, heartbroken. She had agreed to meet her love, but at the edge of the maze, he could never find his way in.
Hello!
Hello!
I can hear you.
David, come and get me.
Don't worry, I've seen your father cut this maze. I watched it from above. I put it all down, little mat, so I'll easily find my way around here. Don't you worry. I'll be right there with you.
Where are you?
No, sorry, at the left over
David!
Here. Because I saw it from up there, and it's quite easy. I just walked straight down here.
Hello?
Hello? Don't worry, it's quite easy. Just keep talking, I'll follow the sound of your voice.
I'm here in the middle of the maze, and it's getting dark.
But David is not the only one.
Who's there? Who's there?
Seth, where are
David? Nora, is that you? Mum?
Nora?
David? Is that you, Dad?
Is my father?
Nora? Oh, David.
Yes.
You found me.
I did. I'm sorry, I decided to just run through the bushes.
You've left a lovely gap. A U-shaped gap.
That's
in the
right.
Hedge.
Just like a cartoon. It's me-shaped.
That's right.
I'm afraid it's torn me. I'm bleeding a little and it's ripped all my clothes.
So it has. I can see a lovely... Oh, that bends to the left slightly, doesn't it?
Terrible when I'm swimming.
Oh,
you ran in circles for hours.
I feel we might be doing the same.
Yes.
Oh, David, you look so gorgeous there, the moonlight glinting on your chest.
That took the curve out of things.
You're beautiful.
I'm glad we've got that straight between us.
But while they were there, in the romantic clinch in the middle of the maze, the path that he had created through the maze was followed by everyone else trying to find their way to the centre. All of them. Baron Penrose, Baron Masterson, Adam, Nora, Seth, the whole lot arrive in the centre.
Oh, blimey, Penrose!
Hey,
Baron Penrose looked at Baron Masterson and they knew it had to be settled here. Here and now. For their tempers were raised and honour must be seen to be satisfied.
Well, Penrose, we may not have much room. Well, Masterson, we may not.
Seth, you keep out of this.
Nora,
stick your head in the hole so we can't hear. Now listen, Masterson. I'm so confused I don't know who I am anymore. There's not any be room for jousting here, but I say there's room for a trusty blade.
A trusty blade?
Yes.
Well, are you going to joust?
No, I'm going to have a shave, you daft bugger. No. You can't joust with a blade, but you can have a damn good sword fight.
A sword fight?
Ah!
Hey, Dad, don't bother. I mean, don't worry. You can use my sword if you like. It's perfectly fine. It won't break or anything as soon as you hit his, and you won't die if you use it or anything.
Is that a sword, or is that one of Nora's wooden saveloys?
Oh, it's the light. It plays tricks.
I notice it bends to the left. That'll be a Masterson blade, all right.
Okay, Penrose. Prepare to meet thy death.
Aye, prepare to meet thy death, Masterson.
And finally, with the right incidental music, they started to fight.
Be careful!
But soon, Baron Masterson's sword gave way.
Take that,
he's
a pot
defenseless, as Baron Penrose plunged his sword deep into his heart. Adam Masterson, hoping by avenging his father's death to make himself a hero of the Mastersons and accepted therefore as new Masterson, drew his dagger and buried it deep into Baron Penrose's belly.
Hey, I'll fish, you bastard.
Penrose! Oh. My one and only true love. Oh. Have you loved it? Yes, I did. I'm sorry, it's true. And now life isn't worth living no more. I'm going to pull his sword out of his body and stab myself.
Adam, you killed my father.
Aye, that's right, I bloody did.
Well, I'm going to have to kill you. Here's my sword.
Oh. Here we are. I've made some nice willow biscuits.
I don't feel very well. I think it's my heart.
It's keeled over. Dead. They were left.
David?
Left among the carnage. David and Mary.
David?
Yes?
Here, where the blood of the Masterson lies, I'm going to plant 2 rose bushes. 1 white, for the purity of spirit of our love. And 1 red, for the blood of the Mastersons.
Gosh.
And so it was they created a new dynasty. Together they were stronger. Together they would create a greater inheritance. A greater Masterson inheritance. In the Masterson inheritance, you heard Josie Lawrence, Fela McDermott, Paul Merton, Caroline Quentin, Lee Simpson, and Jim Sweeney. Dialogue, music, and sound effects were improvised live at the Paris studio. The studio managers were John Whitehall, Ian Harker, and Ian Pratt. The producer was Phil Clark.